And welcome to Behind the Screams. As always, my name is Ian, and in today's show, we are joined by returning, not even guest anymore, you're just, like you said before we came on air, you're part of the furniture now. Sophie is back on the show. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right. We just had this big discussion about mental health, and now I'm coming on the show. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. It's so cool.
We've got all that sad stuff out of the way, and now it's like, okay, we've emptied the stress bucket. We're all good now.
I know. I'm always really excited to get you back onto the show because I just love having episodes that I know 99% of the population is not gonna have a fucking clue what either one of us is saying for completely different reasons, because we have very different accents as well. It's not even like, you know, yours and mine's are even remotely similar.
There's a lot of different slang, there's a lot of different sort of, yeah, cadences and things. When I get excited, I talk a lot faster. It's even worse if I've had a drink as well.
This is my posh voice.
this is still my phone voice as well. Like, I'm trying really hard to be understandable, and probably like if me, like my mum and me sister and that are like, you sound posh. <It's>
if you go back and listen to like the very, very early days of this podcast, I was really putting on, because I also was scripted in those early days as well, because I'd never done this before. So I was like, right, I need a fucking script. So I would read off the script and I tried to be all like proper and say it. And now I'm just like, I get fucked. Fuck that shit. I get worse though. Like, I've noticed, because anyone who listens to the show know me and Lindsay argue all the fucking time. And when we're arguing, I get more and more Scottish as we argue. So, yeah, if you go back and listen to that, you'll find that out. But yeah, it's good to have you back on the show. Obviously, the two episodes you've done previously for us, you did Saw 3. Mm-hmm. And we've still not forgiven Jeff. And you were on more recently talking about The Invitation as part of our Women in Horror Month. But we're doing something completely different today. And I am excited for this. We're going to be talking about Lake Placid. Now, for anyone who's been on the show knows the way I normally do it is I give yourself like a list of 7 or 8 movies to choose from and be like, pick one from this list, or if you have something else to suggest. What made you choose Lake Placid from the list?
So Lake Placid falls into my sort of category of a Sunday shite fest. So it's perfect. Like, in the UK there's a channel called Channel 5, and it's like it's usually got like sort of poverty bait stuff on, like can't pay, we'll take it away sort of stuff. But usually there's like films that go on, and it's like Twister, Dante's Peak, Lake Placid.
There's a whole sort of slew of 90s films there, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
They're all bangers as well.
You're so good. So like, you can just, when, especially if you're like a bit hungover, T4 had finished, you got all your Hollyoaks omnibus, and like, what was it called? The one where all the sexy people were on the beach. I can't remember what it was called.
X on the Beach.
No, it was, it wasn't Survivor, but it was similar to that.
Oh, I don't know.
Someone will know, they're like screaming it at their radio or whatever they listen to this on.
Radio? In the 1940s now.
I know.
We're on anyway, the wireless.
On the wireless, they're listening. And you would put Channel 5 on and there'd be like a 90s film with like something like that on. And it just, when I seen Lake Placid on that list, I was like, oh, the nostalgia just washed over us like a wave. So I was like, yeah, I want to talk about that. That's going to be fun.
I probably shouldn't say this. Channel 5 for me as a boy growing up was Thursday night porn night. They'd always have some softcore pornography on there on a Thursday night. And as little 12-year-old me used to highly rate Thursday nights on Channel 5. But we'll move on from that pretty quickly.
Shipwrecked. That's what it was called. Shipwrecked. Yes.
I'm glad I managed to trigger your
That would have bothered us
memory.
so much.
I'm
That
glad
would
I
have, oh
managed
my God, I'm so glad.
to trigger your memory there. Yeah, so I've been like really excited to talk about this movie for quite a while, to be honest with you. I've been kind of trying to fit it in to people, and people haven't been choosing it, and things like that. So I was really, really glad when you chose it. But we'll talk about a bit more, obviously, about the movie when we get on to it. Before we do that, we'll finish off this opening segment with our housekeeping. Now, since your first appearance on the show, and obviously through your last appearance, you've been continuing to develop your Instagram channel. Do you want to tell any listeners who maybe haven't heard one of your episodes before a little bit about what you do?
So, I started a makeup Instagram when I got a little bit drunk on New Year's Eve, because it was something I've always wanted to do. I've always loved makeup, doing sort of like horror characters. Like my birthday is the 1st November, the day after Halloween. So like whenever we'd go out for Halloween, I would always go all out on like dressing up, doing my makeup, doing a little bit of special effects, but like not a whole lot. So I thought, you know what? I'm tired of standing in my own way. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do a makeup page. And yeah, people have been really nice about it. I've just finished doing a Zodiac series, or just about to finish, sorry. And yeah, hoping to do sort of a lot more like special effects makeup, horror makeup. So if you like anything to do with that, and I also do like Instagram lives and stuff as well, where I just chat shite basically.
So basically what we do on this show. Yeah, you just come in and chat shit. No, I've been following you pretty much since we sort of first crossed paths back in January, I think it was. Sometime
Something like
around then.
that.
And you've been doing a whole host of like really amazing looks. And like you say, you've obviously been doing the Zodiac one there as a Leo. Fire sign. I'm a very fiery human being. I was very happy when you did the Leo one. But you've done a whole host of things, so it's really, really good. No, obviously, it's really good. It's really exciting, though. We obviously wish you all the best with that. If anyone, do you want to just remind people where they can find your Instagram? I don't know.
Yeah, so on Instagram I am Sophie Serves Face, and on Twitter I am Soph Serves Face. I didn't have enough characters for like the same Instagram and Twitter name, but I'm really active on Twitter. Yeah, I'm sort of chatting on there all the time. I'm always happy to talk to new people. So yeah, you're likely to find us on there all the time.
Awesome. Both the links to that Instagram and the Twitter account will be in the description of this week's episode. So please do go check that out. Give Sophie a follow because you won't regret it. There's some awesome stuff on there. Don't forget, you can find this show on Twitter at Screams Behind. That's probably where you're most likely to find us because I pretty much spend 24 hours a day. It feels like I spend 24 hours a day on Twitter. You can also find us Instagram and Facebook and on YouTube at the Behind the Screams podcast. Today, day of recording, we've actually just released your last episode with us, Sophie, on our YouTube channel. On the invitation, so just search for Behind the Screams podcast on there. Don't forget, you can also support us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/behindthescreams. There you will get 1 month early access, at least 1 month. It's actually been a little bit over a month, at least 1 month early access to all of these video recordings that you're talking about. You can get them on our Patreon at the £5 tier. You'll get a week's early access to all of our regular shows as well for the £1 tier. And there's a whole host of other things like bonus episodes. And this month's bonus review, we do one bonus movie review a month amongst other episodes, is your choice. Your choice one. We're going to be talking about Return to Oz.
So excited
I'm
to
excited for
talk
that.
about
I'd
that.
actually been saving it for the main show. So we may still do a main show episode on it sometime down the line, because
It's
that is a
like very
fucking
much a
horror
horror
film.
film.
It's
It's very much a horror.
absolute nightmare fuel. So we'll definitely probably be covering that at some point, but down the line. But this month, me and Nico will be getting to grips with that. So that should be fun and exciting. Don't forget, we are also on Twitch, twitch.tv/behindthescreams podcast. There you can find me and Dave. and sometimes Lulu as well. Lucy might be doing some more streams for us on our Twitch channel as well. And we've also got live shows. Last week, Friday just passed, we did a live episode, Ask Us Anything Q&A. We'll be doing a whole lot more stuff like that. So that's twitch.tv/behindthescreenspodcast. And finally, because I don't have enough bloody things to plug, we're also on TikTok. That's TikTok. Just search for us at Behind the Screams Podcast. Lindsay runs our TikTok account, and she posts a whole host of videos there, including promo clips and fun horror facts as well. So search for Behind the Screams Podcast there. I don't think we're in enough places, to be
No,
honest.
I think you're missing the wireless. That's where
That's
you're
it. Is
missing.
that's what it is. We need one of those like radio ad jingles, don't we? Right, are you ready to talk about this week's movie?
I'm ready. I'm so ready.
Okay, we're talking about Lake Placid.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Existed since prehistoric times. It was worshipped by primitive cultures. It can kill a man with one crushing bite.
We heard a man was bit in half.
Any recent bear attacks?
Bears don't attack people underwater.
Probably a fever then.
What was that?
Whatever's out there being shot with this is dead.
Oh no.
Sheriff, how many deputies you got?
You came here to help you find it.
We can't let him kill it.
Experience a few parts mystery.
Do you have any theories why he's here?
Honestly, I don't know.
And a few parts missing.
It's a human toe.
Is this the man who was killed?
He seemed taller.
Oh my God.
Bill Pullman.
Shoot him! No!
How much of a wacko is this guy?
Bridget Fonda.
Mother!
Oliver Platt.
Maybe he swam back up!
Maybe not.
I just have this feeling everything's totally safe.
This summer, the Earth's oldest creature has just found a new home.
Hurry up!
Lake Placid.
This movie was released in 1999. It was directed by Steve Miner and stars Bridget Fonda, Bill Pullman, and Oliver Platt. The IMDb plot, right, I'm going to take major issue with this, but this is the IMDb plot. Three people attempt to stop a gigantic crocodile who is terrorizing residents in Black Lake, Maine. Three people? There's like 30 of them.
Like, did I do the counting for this?
Like just the main cast alone, there are four of them.
Yeah.
Because you've got Kelly, you've got Jack, you've got Hector, and you've got the sheriff.
Yeah.
And then you've got all the other people around
But
them,
just the random people
and
that
we
are here.
see at least what, six or seven of those people as the movie goes on. So there's at least 10 people. So IMDb have gone and fucked this right up.
I don't feel like he's like the crocodile is terrorizing people either.
The crocodile kills a guy who goes rummaging about in his house. That's self-defense. So let's just get into this opening scene. Well, first, actually, I want to ask you, because this, how do you feel overall about this sort of movie? Because there's actually been quite a lot of crocodile movies. You know, we were talking about, you know, just things like, other than crocodiles, but of a similar vein, like Anaconda, and other such movies like that. How do you feel this one sort of stacks up against them? Because in terms of like movies in the water, it's never going to be Jaws, is it? So
No.
where
It wants
does
to be.
do you think this wants to be?
There's a couple of bits. There's a bit right at the beginning where I was like, that has been ripped right off. And there's a bit at the end where, again, it's, I don't know if it's like, let's pay a little fond homage, but it's like, again, it's a ripoff. I think it wants to be, but I think it's one of the better ones. Like, I think it could have been a lot better. It doesn't take itself very seriously, and I think that's good.
I think
that there's a lot of issues.
I think that's the almost the biggest plus point of this movie, is that this movie isn't trying to be... Yeah, I know what you're saying, like, they maybe have a few call-ins here and there to Jaws and things like that. This movie's not trying to be the greatest fucking, you know, creature feature movie of all time, is it? This movie's here for a bit of a laugh, bit of a giggle. It's almost got, I think, especially for sort of like American movies as well, it's got a very dry sense of humor, which I think will really appeal to viewers here in the UK, because I think I know that we're sort of generalizing a little bit, but I think pretty much across most of the UK, we're kind of known for having a very dry sense of humor, you know. Bit of dark comedy in there, obviously, without sort of going overboard, and I think that appeals to us, because I was like you, like, this is a movie that was on in my household pretty regularly, not even just like on the Channel 5 afternoon. So it'd be like, oh, should we watch a DVD tonight? And it'd be like, Lake Placid would always at least be in consideration.
Yeah, like, if it was on, it was like, oh yeah, oh, we really like this film, don't we? Yeah, we'll watch it. Yeah.
Exactly. Before we go on, right, there's one thing that I have to talk about right at the beginning, because this movie does have one of possibly my most favourite people of all time. And that is, of course, the just incomparable Betty White. She is a very minor role in this movie, but she completely steals the show, doesn't she?
She is, in this film, she is the original Carol Baskin. just the one-liners she comes out with, just the way she sort of delivers her lines. Like, she literally, like you say, she eats the scenery. She steals every scene that she's in. And it would be a much poorer film without her.
Absolutely. She has this... Because Betty White is just such a likeable person anyway, isn't she? Like, she has this unique charisma that's so rare. Like, it's so rare to find someone that she doesn't even need to open her mouth. And you're like, I love this woman. Like, she's just amazing. And, you know, so when... And we know throughout her acting career that, you know, she's not afraid of swearing and having a bit of a potty mouth and all that things, but still, when it happens, you're just like, oh, Betty White, you're this little old lady, you shouldn't be saying that.
Like, it's me not swearing. But not just like saying, oh, you know, the odd like shit or like piss off or anything, just like, officer, fuck mate. You're all cocksuckers. You're like, ah!
She was like, if I had a dick, this is where I'd tell you to suck it. I'm like, whoa! Betty White, you shouldn't be saying those things. But it's so fucking funny. You're right. She absolutely... And it's not even that as well. It's like, oh, do you know how your husband died? And she's like, yes, I killed him. It's just like,
the way she says it, you don't know whether to believe her or not. You're like, is she just fucking with all of us? Like...
What I love is as well, like, later in the movie, we find out that she didn't actually kill him. And she thought that her saying, I killed him, was the more believable, the better option. Oh yeah, I committed murder, but I didn't really commit murder. Like, what? Betty White, you'd be crazy. But yeah, obviously we'll probably talk about her a little bit more as the discussion goes on, we get there. So we get this opening scene on the lake with Sheriff Keogh, which is obviously played by Brendan Gleeson, who's another, you know, personal favourite of mine, specifically from things like, you know, 28 Days Later and a whole host of other things. I think he's a fantastic actor. And he's on the lake with this diver. We don't know, some random diver. And then the diver obviously gets chomped. And we get to see the cut in half sort of body, which I was a little bit, obviously not watching it the recent time, but when I first saw this, I was a little bit surprised that we got to see that, because I didn't really think it was that kind of film.
This was I didn't remember it being that gory. I didn't like must have just blocked that from my mind. Like, it was a lot gorier than I remember. And this is where that first Jaws reference, where Jaws sort of blatant copy is. You know, when he's like when he's tagging beavers and he's going in the beaver den and he's like, the sort of the music gets a little bit scarier and the beaver shoots out at him. I was like, that's like when the head comes out of the boat. But yeah, and it's like just Brendan Gleeson's just sitting eating Twinkies and like, let me tell you, Twinkies were my greatest disappointment.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Twinkies either.
Anytime you watch a film with like Twinkies in it, I was like, oh my God, they look unreal. And all I wanted was one.
They're very disappointing, aren't they?
Very disappointing.
They're very average.
I didn't remember it being as gory as it was. And yeah, like you say, I just didn't think it would be this kind of film where we're like, you literally see he's eviscerated. He's no more.
He is. That's one way to get sort of beach body ready and you know, lose those lockdown pounds is to just have a crocodile munch off your bottom half. That sounded bizarre. I did feel, even though maybe not so much with Twinkies, but with just any snack, I felt very seen by Brendan Gleeson just sitting there stuffing himself with Twinkie after Twinkie. So does he not open like four different packs of Twinkies?
Yeah, he's like eating the full packet.
And I felt very seen. I did enjoy that.
That's
but yeah,
what camping is, right? You just snacks.
Yeah, exactly. Snacks and booze, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, like this, because this isn't the only sort of, I mean, this film's not like ridiculously gratuitous throughout, you know, this isn't Saw or Martyrs or something like that we're talking about here. But, you know, there's a severed head, we see somebody getting their head chopped off, there's dead animal heads, there's a severed toe. So like there is some gratuitous stuff in here as well.
Yeah, there's a fair bit.
And I think, and one of the things that I want to talk about is, and I suppose it sort of works, is the sort of effects of this movie. Because this being 1999, and they did use CGI for chunks of this film, although parts of the crocodile was animatronics and parts of it was CGI. How do you think it held up overall? Because you've also got the effects, like we're saying, with, you know, the severed head, the severed toe, and things like that.
I think they look great. Like, I think the sort of special effects of like the gore and the dead bodies and stuff, I think that looks great. I was like, I didn't want to read too much into it, like trivia wise and IMDb and stuff, but I know that the crocodile and the animatronics was done by the same guy who did Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, he knows his stuff.
He does, because Jurassic Park still looks fantastic in 2021. I think that the effects here in Lake Placid have held up pretty well. There was a few moments watching it today where I was like,
bit with
the bear, the bit where the crocodile's thrashing about in the helicopter at the end. Some of the water special effects doesn't look amazing, but there's no point that you're like, oh, that looks fucking rough.
Yeah.
And, you know, the animatronics in that look great. And like you said, Jurassic Park for me is one of those movies that, 93, so 28 years later, still looks as amazing now than it did back then. So this guy clearly knows his fucking shit. He's done a lot more than those movies as well. I will get onto that later when we do the trivia.
You've pinched
a bit of trivia. But that's fine. There's a whole host of other amazing movies that he's been involved in as well. But yeah, so like I was pleasantly surprised. And even today, like we're still getting crocodile movies and things like that today that don't look as good as this.
No.
And I think that's a testament to it. Because it's 22 years old now. This isn't a new film. And, you know, CGI has come a long way since the late 90s. We get this sort of ragtag group of people together. Obviously, we've got the sheriff. Then we've got Bill Pullman's character, Jack. We've got Oliver Platt's Hector. And we've got Bridget Fonda's Kelly. Is there any one of these four that you sort of liked the most? Because there's two that I like the most out of this group.
I mean, they all just absolutely hate each other, don't they? They're just like, they're all just, yeah. I think the people I like the most are probably, I do like Brendan Gleeson's character. And that's probably it. So, I do like Bill Pullman's character just because I really like Bill Pullman as an actor.
That's
but
the
I
thing.
Don't think he's needed.
In this film, though, like you bring up there, you know, all these characters hate each other. There is no sort of positivity or hope given to us from our main cast here, because they're all really nasty to one another. They're all constantly just making pretty rough jokes at each other. Like when Hector comes in about, he turns around to Brent, he's just like, "You're fat." Like,
that's just first thing he says, "Oh, you're round."
The earth is round and so should you be. You know, he calls him and you know, they end up like Brendan Gleeson punches him, and they're all just arguing and bickering with each other, and you know, Callie's constantly being questioned to why she's even there, and I'm just like, bitch, she wants to be there, let her fucking be there. So yeah, like I found that really bizarre, but somehow I still managed to find I think maybe that was more just because of the Brendan Gleeson factor, that I liked the sheriff. But I also liked Hector. I don't know, there was just something about Hector that I found quite likable, and quite charismatic, even though he was fucking batshit insane. So yeah, but I just found it bizarre because it's not really something that I come across too often, where you've just got every single cast member really actually being pretty negative, pretty downbeat, argumentative, and that could have so easily backfired on this movie, because you know as well, you generally need at least one character that you like, that's likable, that you can sort of gravitate towards, that you can root for. But by having all these characters being so negative, you know, being so obnoxious, being so whatever, you know, character traits they've got, really could have backfired on this film and had us all be like, I fucking hate all of them. It's like, I'm rooting. I mean, I was rooting for the crocodile as well, let's be real.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
There's like, I think that some of it comes down to just because the cast is unreal. Like, I forgot how amazing the cast is. Like, these names are coming up and I was like, him? Her, what? Eh? Like, it's, so I think it comes down to the, you know, the talent of the cast, but, some of the dialogue like was just really jarring. Some of the way the characters were written, I think, like you say, it could have really easily backfired. And there was points where I was like, oh, just fucking put them all in the river, just eat them all. Like, you're like, my favorite character I think probably was Betty White, because I was like, she'd be me. I'd be like feeding that crocodile, like, oh, you look starving, petty. Like,
she says she's been feeding it for years as well, so she'll have fed it since it was just I don't know, what do you call a baby crocodile? I don't know what the word is for a baby. I should have probably looked that
little croc.
Lil croc. It's the new
crocodilly.
So she's been feeding this baby crocodile. You know what like gets me as well, is was Betty White ever young?
No, like she's 77 in this film, I think.
She's 98 now, right? So she's something like that. She's 98, 99, something like that. So, you know, she was an old woman. Old woman, that sounds so rude. She was an old lady.
Oh, sorry, Betty White. So
we fucking love you. Can we put this out? Maybe I can get Betty White on the show. Do you think Betty White listens to podcasts?
Yes.
She definitely listens to this podcast. I'm just going to say that.
She's cool as fuck. She's definitely listening to podcasts.
She's definitely rocking a Behind the Screams t-shirt and is drinking out of a wee Behind the Screams mug. And, you know, I'll just keep telling myself that. There's... it's difficult to sort of really go into depth in this movie. Like you were saying, you were talking about the script there, and the script's not amazing. And there's no real I feel, depth to a lot of these characters as well. We don't find anything out at all about the sheriff. Like, we know nothing about the sheriff's life beyond this. We know nothing about Jack's life beyond this. We know a little bit about Kelly, because obviously, you know, we get those scenes at the beginning with her ex-boyfriend, Kevin. What a cunt. Yeah. Like, I wish the crocodile would have eaten him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, how was you feeling about that whole scene when he's, like, breaking up with her and then the friend comes in and tries to calm her down and then he just, like, sends her away? What a prick.
He's such an arsehole, isn't he? Like, that bit that, I think, the bit where I really did like Kelly was when, you know, when he comes in and she's just like, hey, how's your day going? Are you having a nice day? Oh, why don't you just fuck off? I was like, what a fucking queen.
It's so relatable, isn't it? Like, we've all had days like that where you're just like, oh, fuck off, you know? But yeah, he's such a fucking dick. Maybe that's why this sort of works, because even though Kelly's obnoxious and Kelly's not very nice to certain characters, we've seen someone be even worse to her. So maybe, like, that's a factor in it as well that sort of makes us gravitate towards her, because this Kevin dude's a famous dude. He's in Halloween H20, he's been in a whole load of stuff, this guy. What a cunt! Like, honestly... Oh, so bad. And the friend, the friend's not much better. Just comes in and be like, oh, by the way, it's me he's been shagging.
Everyone in, like, I just feel like everyone in this film, like, to a certain degree, just isn't, just not nice. No one's nice to each other. Like, everyone's just got horrible things to say. And, yeah, just, I mean, poor Kelly, it doesn't get much better for her, really. Like, the ship are off to Maine. She's like, I'm allergic to timber, and I don't know, like, is there a lot of timber in Maine? Like,
I think it's a lot of woodland in Maine. I've never been, but...
makes sense. I was like, I don't know anything about Maine other than, like, what Stephen King writes about, and I wouldn't want to go. Like, it sounds fucking terrifying. Like, everything's happening there. Like,
giant crocodiles killing people and all sorts happening in Maine.
Pennywise is just down the road. Like,
that's true. Well, that's true. I didn't even think about Pennywise. But you're right, you know, like, that's, it seems like an odd setting, doesn't it? As someone not from America, Maine's probably not the top of my wish list destinations to go in the States. I think there's a few places I'd probably rather visit first. But yeah, sort of bringing it back to, obviously, like, we get that little bit of background to Kelly, which, you know, explains quite a lot of how her character is. We do get little snippets of backgrounds for Hector, mainly through Kelly. It's through Kelly she sort of gives us a little bit of exposition about him, but aside from that, there is no background to any of these characters, so it's really a wonder that we like any of them at all. Because when I was recording the Wrong Turn episode with Candy and Sean from House of Screams, and one of the big issues we had about that film was we didn't know anything about any of the characters. There was no depth. And it's almost just as bad here, yet I remember this movie so much more positively than I remember Wrong Turn. And I think that's probably just down to the comedy rather than it objectively being a better film. Because I think if you sit and you look at this film objectively, this isn't a great film.
No, there was definitely like a few moments where I was like, oh, Jesus. Like, mostly to do with Hector and... also the way that Kelly is written. Kelly has a whole host of things of like, I don't do trees, I don't do ticks, I don't do worms. And I'd say, well, what do you do, Kelly, apart from fucking whinge all the time?
Sounds like me, to be fair.
You know, can you just, you know, you're clearly this amazing paleontologist in like probably quite a male-dominated world. Can you just be a little bit more of a kick-ass woman, please, and just not complain so much? And then Hector like comes in and like arguably a really cool crocodile helicopter.
Is it arguable?
And like is just like, you're fat. You have such big, wonderful boobs. And then when they're in the little canoe and it's like, did she tell you me and her did sex vigorously? It's just like, who is writing these lines? Like, do you have an editor? Like, has someone an eye over this and gone, really?
I did chuckle a little bit when she was like, no, we didn't. And he was like, I'm horrible in bed. They never remember.
But that big, wonderful boobs line, and that other woman just goes, thanks. Like, if someone said that to me, I would be like, are you on crack?
This like, is I think this is a PSA. Like, if you're like out and you're out sort of looking to hook up with people and things, don't use that line.
I know lockdown has been a long time and we've all forgotten how to socialise, but please, please, please do not go up to a woman and just go, you have big, wonderful boobs. Even if she does have big, wonderful boobs.
She knows. She doesn't need you to tell her.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
she won't say thank you.
She'll kick your tiny, terrible testicles. But it's, I mean, I'm probably going to get people coming up to me saying, you've got big, wonderful boobs at this rate. And I most certainly will not be taking that as a compliment. But you're right, like, there is a bit of a sort of heavy misogynistic lens this movie seems to be through, because as well, obviously Callie's constantly being questioned, isn't she? Just, why are you here? What are you even doing here? Look at this, look at your fingernails, look at that, like, look how, like, nice you are, like, look how well maintained you are. Look, and she's just being picked over everything, isn't she, by these characters. Whereas Hector comes in, like you say, in this arguably pretty cool fashion, and no one really seems to question, like, once it's explained why he's there, no one really seems to question it. It's explained why Callie's there. Callie's a paleontologist. They found this tooth and she wants to investigate it further. She got the permission from the sheriff. I don't see what the fucking problem is. But yet she's constantly being picked over, isn't she?
Yeah. And yeah, like you say, you know, Hector gets there and they're like, well, you're a bit of a fucking weirdo, but you know, we don't think we've got a crocodile, but fine, you can stick around, have a party, make all these like traps, and then we'll get this, like, you know, the comedy relief of like his relationship with Hank the sheriff. And but yeah, it's, he never really gets questioned to the same extent that Kelly does.
Yeah, definitely. And to be honest with you, obviously it's watching it sort of growing up, that wasn't really something that I had picked up on. Of course I'm not going to pick up on that, but watching it again, like, for this show, I was like, holy shit, like, I really didn't realize just how bad this movie is for it. And Jack as well, like, Jack's probably the worst offender for it. You know, the sheriff's quite bad at the beginning, Hank's quite bad at the beginning, but they seem to sort of build a little bit of a bond as the movie goes forward. But Jack's like questioning her all the time, although at the beginning as well, the sheriff is also like perving on that lassie who's like asking what's going on. And so is Jack as well. They're both just being a pair of pervs, really.
Yeah. Like, where does she come from as well? It's almost like someone's just sort of, like, pushed her in from the side, being like, oh, shit, like, we've got too much gore, so we can't have, like, bare boobs and stuff. So you come in looking really sexy and being like, oh, hi, yeah, I know. Like, yeah, it's not good for female representation.
That's the role I want in a horror movie. I want to be just like pushed on the side and just to be like, oh, guys,
pay attention to me.
I could totally pull that off. But yeah, no. So there is a heavy theme that goes out throughout this entire movie as well, because it's not even just them. Obviously, we hear sort of Kelly on the phone not being believed by other people, and whilst they're not explicitly saying they're not believing her because she's a woman, like, it just combined with everything else, isn't it? And she's always the character that seems to get the shit happens to her. Like, she gets the moose head thrown at her. She's the character that gets the human head thrown at her, you know? And
she gets launched out the boat.
She's constantly... She spends more time in the bloody water in this movie than she does on land. She spends more time in there than the bloody crocodile. So yeah, like, her character is pretty poorly treated. So I think we would have been remiss of us if we hadn't sort of highlighted that, because it's actually quite a major factor that I hadn't really realized before. But you sort of mentioned there, if we move on a little bit, the sort of comic relief relationship that we have developing between Hank and Hector. How good a comic relief was this for you?
I mean, when I was younger watching this, I probably found it hysterical, but it was just annoying watching it now. I mean, it was good. Like, I think Brendan Gleeson plays that, like, quiet annoyance really well, especially when he steps into the, you know, the when he's hanging upside down and you're just like, it's that look when you give your other half when they're really annoying you, but you're in public and you can't like really rip into them like you want to.
Public? What's that? Oh, that's like, you're letting the whole world know. Like, you might as well just scream at him at that point. The whole world will be looking at me like, oh, no, no.
But yeah, and do you know, I don't know if this is just me, but I got I'd created my own little story where they actually had a little bit of a gay romance going on, a secret gay romance.
I don't think that's a huge stretch, because they kind of allude to it in this film as well, you know, when Hector tells him to go and chew the bark off his big fat log. And
yeah.
And
was that a homosexual reference?
yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Suck his dick. Anyways.
At the end as well, you know, when Kelly falls in the water or something, and Bill Pullman's character was Kelly, and at the same time Hank goes Hector like that, and then he rides in the ambulance with them at the end, and it's like, oh,
I don't think that's that big a stretch, to be honest with you. If you look at that storyline in isolation, it's very much a romance storyline. You know, they come in, mm-hmm. they absolutely hate each other. You know, how many times have we watched, you know, these sort of romance films where the two main protagonists, always, you know, a straight couple, hate each other in the beginning, but somehow they end up falling for each other and ending up in each other's arms. And it kind of feels a little bit like that. These two hate each other. They're constantly bickering like a married couple.
Yeah.
You know, they're making all these lewd references at each other. But like you say, at the end, Hank shows that he sort of really cares, actually, about Hector. They end up in the ambulance together. Probably went straight to the chapel before they went to the hospital. And just,
I feel like they had the most chemistry. They had the better chemistry than the romantic lead.
Let's talk about that, right? Because we're obviously talking about one budding romance, but the movies tell us about a second budding romance between Kelly and Jack. These two have all the chemistry of two fucking planks of wood, right? Like, I don't know who's watching this and thinking, they'd make a good couple, because their chemistry is not great.
No, like, it's just like, you just feel like they're gonna have like really angry sex with each other, and then they're never gonna see each other ever again.
They're gonna go to that bar, they're gonna get drunk, they're gonna go down to Pound Town, and then they're just gonna, like you say, never call each other again. Never even, she's gonna go back to New York, she's gonna wipe Maine from her memory, and just get on with her life. There's just nothing between them. Like, the thing is, these are two good actors as well. This is Bridget Fonda and Bill Pullman. Like, this isn't two nobodies that we've never heard of as well. Like, these are two major stars. I'm not sure if they've worked together in previous movies. I'm probably forgetting something ridiculously obvious that they've both worked together on, but you'd think that they'd be able to act having some chemistry. I don't know, maybe there was some like off-camera tension between them. Maybe there was a romance between them in real life, but
and then they fell out
but they'd,
but
actually,
I feel like if you're being told as well, like, this whole film, you've just got to like hate on each other and argue with each other. Like, I probably wouldn't be like, but then I'm also going to really like try and forge this great like romance with you as well, bar like a couple of longing looks over a bonfire. Right.
Well, that's it as well, because there's nothing in the movie that, like you say, they have a couple of little chats where they seem to sort of get to know each other like a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But then it goes straight back to them having absolutely no chemistry whatsoever the next day.
Yeah.
You know, so I think had they built that throughout the entire film, you know, had they had that first night and, you know, we saw them maybe exchanging certain stories. And then the next day when we're back in the daytime, they were maybe just a little bit more affectionate towards each other. Then it might have become a little bit more believable, but there's none of that. And
yeah,
like it's
but even if like, you know, that scene with the croc and the bear, like. Hank pushes Hector out the way, but I think I can't. What's Bill Pullman's character called?
Jack.
I can't even remember what he's called.
It's Jack.
Jack. What would have been really good there, show chemistry, is if he'd like, if they'd fallen on each other, and you know that like classic thing where like the face to face, and it's like, oh, are they going to kiss? They're looking at each other. And then they're like, oh no, we hate each other. But like. Yeah, there wasn't even that. And then afterwards he's like, oh my God, you should have seen your face when like that croc came out of the water. And it's like, I rewound it a couple of times and I was like, they didn't even look at each other. We're both just staring.
You're like full on FBI researching that and being like, he didn't literally, even fucking look.
He's lying to her.
But you're right though. And it's not even like, because with the whole Hector and Hank thing, you know, you can at least sort of say, like, it's that sort of playground thing, isn't it? Where, well, you're horrible to the people you really like, you know? And to an extent, I think that does live on in real life. Because I don't know about you and your friends, but my closest friends are the people that we all just sort of gently bully each other until the rest of time. And sometimes it's not even that gentle, to be honest with you. It's quite harsh.
Absolute bastards to each
other. Yeah. But that's sometimes how you act around the people who are closest to you. So I could relate so much more to the Hank and Hector relationship than I could to the Callie and Jack. Because I didn't even necessarily get the impression that they hated each other. I just got the impression that we're so indifferent towards each other that it just puts me off both of them. Like, Jack's probably the least likable character for me in this whole film.
Yeah.
Just because there's nothing to him at all. We don't know any of his backstory. He's not nice to any of the characters on the screen. He's the one that they have to convince at the end to save the crocodile. And it's like, who the fuck do you think you are, pal?
Yeah.
Like, just...
And I don't understand how he has more authority over the sheriff. Like, maybe that's just because I don't understand American policing and small town politics and things. But how does meat and fish or whatever he was called, how does he have more authority than the police?
You're right though, like obviously we don't have like a sheriff system here, we don't have fish and game.
Yeah.
Not meat and fish.
Is that what it was? Fish and game, not meat and fish.
So I don't particularly know how it works, but I also would have assumed that the sheriff would... He's the fucking sheriff, right?
Yeah.
Surely he has, like, final word until, like, the FBI comes swooping in or something. Or the National Guard, or I don't know, whatever it is that they call to as the backup at the end. Who just happen to show up at the precise moment that they capture the crocodile. Like, it's like, come the fuck on. Honestly. I don't understand why people are so reluctant to believe that there's a crocodile. See if this was me, right? Now, I live in Aberdeen, Scotland, and I'm sure very similar to where you live, Sophie, there's no crocodiles in the wild where we live.
No.
But see, if someone was to phone me up and be like, you need to come down to this lake or river or whatever, someone's been killed by a crocodile. At the beginning, I'd be like, what? But if it's like from an official person, if it came from the sheriff...
Yeah.
For example, I'd be like, right, okay, a crocodile has killed someone. Why does everyone just think that everyone is lying?
But not only, like, someone's not only just said it, they've found a tooth. Like, an actual crocodile tooth.
And they're saying they're going, it could be, is it a bear tooth?
A bear?
But it's like, we don't even have bears here, and I know for a fact that... We don't even have bears here, and I know that that's not a fucking bear tooth. Like, who thinks that's a bear tooth? I just don't understand. I don't understand this. It confuses me, honestly. The human behaviour in this movie is so far just, like, off the charts not real to life human behavior at all, that it almost ruins the film. And this is quite, it's quite funny because we're now at a point where we've kind of just been ripping this movie apart for the best part of the last sort of half an hour, but we both like this film.
Yeah, it's a really good film. But I don't know why it's really good.
Because we've just said you don't necessarily like all the comedy in it, because the comic relief characters that you've got is a little bit annoying, you know. We don't like any of the chemistry between most of the characters. The only real sort of positives we've got in this so far is the CGI still kind of holds up, and Betty White's in this film. So this is what I want to ask you before we sort of get into this, the finishing stretches of our discussion. Is this film only good because of Betty White?
No. I don't think it's... I think it's got some good comedy moments that Betty White mostly brings. But I think because it doesn't take itself too seriously, it knows it's a film about a giant crocodile. Like, it's not trying to be the best picture winner at the Oscars.
Could you imagine?
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. Not that the Oscars matter, but still. And I just think, like, it's, maybe it's just like I'm looking through it with a nostalgia lens, but I do think it is a good film. Like, and I can't tell you why.
that's perfectly fine. I think you're right. I think there is some good comedy elements to this film. I think Brendan Gleeson brings quite a lot to the plate here as well. Mm-mm. In terms of just likability. I think he is such a likable person anyway, and you like him so much. Like, he will always be that really nice dad from 28 Days Later, you know, where he's just the most likable person, and, you know, has the most... They did him dirty in that film. They did him so fucking dirty with how they, spoilers, killed him off. But, yeah, so he's always going to be, like, that character for me. So every time I see him, even if that movie came before he was in 28 Days Later, I kind of just always attribute that characteristics to him, you know. And I'm sure other people have that for different actors and things like that as well, but Brendan Gleeson's always that for me. And it's like with Betty White, as soon as you see Betty White, you're just like, we were saying, you know, you just fall in love with Betty White because she's amazing, she's hilarious, she's everything you want in a person, isn't she? So I think them two combined bring quite a lot. I do think the character of Hector does bring some stuff to the table as well. I get what you're saying as well. Like, he comes in, he's a misogynist, he's a bit of a dick, he is a lot of a dick. But I do think he has some good comedy moments too. I do like when Hank comes into the tent and he's just like, hey, and everyone's like, hey! And they're having the party.
I will say as well, in defense of Hector, I really did like that scene where he went in the water to sort of find... He went in, you know, when he went into the gulf bit, and he was sort of face to face with the croc, and then was like, I think I've made a huge mistake.
Yeah. He's like, oh, shit.
But I think, I mean, at that point, I thought he was going to die, because we'd had all this stuff around, like... you know, Hector really sees crocodiles as these really mythological creatures. He, you know, because he sees them like this, that's why he's never been bitten by one. And that was, like, I did feel genuine, like, tension in that moment. And you thought, oh, like, we're going to get a big name kill here. But it didn't happen. And then we you know, go right back to sort of like, oh, it was just a little bit before that, wasn't it? Where it's like, don't get in the water, I'll have sex with you. And you just think, oh, you know, you could, you've just got these glimmers of like where this film could be like even like really, really good, and then you've just got this really clunky dialogue. Mm-hmm. But
we already know that she's willing to have sex with him as well, because they were about to have sex the other night.
No, they were about to mate.
Oh yes. Yes, can she say we were hoping to mate? He was like, was you? Because I didn't hear any of that from her. I've only heard that from you. Yeah, you're right. It's but no, I think you're right. Like, do you wish we'd gotten that big name kill? Because there's only don't even need to finish the sentence. Just yep. We only have a body count of 2 in this film. We've only got the diver at the front at the beginning of the film, and we've got the other police officer who gets his head bitten off. There's no other deaths in this movie, right? Bear. You count the bear.
And
a cow.
Possibly Betty White's husband.
But that doesn't happen during the movie. So we only have an on-screen body count of 2, which when watching it again, I was a little bit surprised that. Like, I'd always just in my head had this down as this bear is causing absolute carnage, and it's killing people and it's killing animals. Yeah. And it really kills 2 people.
And this is why, again, the IMDb thing's bullshit, because it's not terrorizing anyone.
It's not. Like, these people are poking around its house.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking leave it alone and it won't kill anyone. Like,
it's lived there nicely for 6 years. Like,
if it was, you know, coming into town at night, making it sound like it's putting on its heels and getting all glammed up and coming out in its crocodile skin shoes.
Just having a mooch.
But if it was like, you know, terrorizing people's homes at night and snatching children and killing livestock and all that sort of thing, then yeah, it's terrorizing people. But it kills, I mean, don't get me wrong, the police officer gets a pretty gnarly death by getting his head bitten clean off, but it's nothing that we've not seen before as well. So neither of the deaths, even though we were maybe a little bit surprised at how gory this film was at points, because there's large swathes of this film that's not, but
They don't matter to us as a viewer. You're not invested. Where at least, like, you know, I know a lot of these characters are pretty one dimensional, but you know, you're building a relationship with them. The directors and things hope that you'll care about some of these people. And, you know, I think just to sort of build that tension and just maybe bring them together as a group as well and get them to like not hate each other as much and stop bickering and just bloody shut up for a second. If like, you know, if Hector had been killed, like, you know, the great crocodile hunter who believed these, you know, mythological amazing creatures was actually killed by one. So shit must be fucking serious now.
Yeah, and it would have given it, like, it would have given the movie a little bit of, like, sort of poetic justice. It would have made it, you know, just a bit more, I don't know if whimsical is the right word, but it would have given the movie something a bit more, I think, to get our teeth into. Like you say, we do, for as much as we don't necessarily like all these characters, we do find ourselves sort of invested in them. Maybe not Jack, but we do, for the other 3, I think, despite their flaws, I think we can all say we found something that we kind of like about them, whether they have a funny moment here, funny moment there. Jack doesn't have Jack shit, quite frankly. But I just wish, I think, we'd gotten one of them, even if it wasn't one of those 4, one of the other people that we'd seen, like the policewoman that that Hector was trying to mate with, or, do you know, someone else in this movie who'd just gotten some dialogue. Mrs. Bickerman, maybe, you know, had croaked it at one point, you know. Maybe at the end of the movie she'd come out in protest of them using her cow as bait and accidentally got chomped herself. You know, something like that, I think. Yeah. Just to, I think, give us that little bit more of a holy fuck moment, because I don't feel like there's ever that holy fuck moment. And like you were saying, they're building this tension, and they are building tension relatively well, but there's absolutely zero payoff to that.
Yeah, because I think, like, if they'd, like, I think the opening is amazing. Like, if they just kept that going, and just, I just think, I wish there had just been someone from that core group of people. Even if they'd had, like, you know, if you think, oh, we don't want to, like, kill them off, like, just a little bit of leg.
No, but you're right, you know, like, in, I know the character dies eventually in the movie, but like in Deep Blue Sea, you know, the guy loses an arm right at the beginning, and yeah. You know, you just, even if you didn't want to, like you say, kill the characters off, have one of them be in some sort of mortal danger, you know, have yeah. them, one of them be like, give, and it also puts a clock on the film as well. It builds that tension even further, because, you know, someone loses a leg, then suddenly, oh, you've got to get things done quick, you know, they're going to bleed to death, and, you know, it just ramps everything up. And I yeah. think that's what was also missing from this film, just the lack of ramping anything up, because they could have kept that comedy going at the same time. They wouldn't have had to change anything at all from that comedy, because you could do both together and yeah. still have a really effective movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I think even, like, at the end, when, for some reason, Kelly decides to go in the water and try and outswim a crocodile.
And succeeds.
There's, like, there wasn't really any sort of, like, tension there, because it was just, like, okay, you're outswimming a crocodile, and then, like... I mean, it was sort of when the croc was, like, biting around the trunk, that was a little bit like, oh, shit, like, mm-hmm. what's going to happen? But then I think because it was, like, the main romantic lead, you were like, nothing's going to happen yeah. here.
Like, it was Bridget Fonda. You were like, she's yeah. not going to get killed off. Had it been Hector or Hank, you'd be like, all right, one of them might get yeah. it. But we knew at this point that neither Kelly nor Jack were going to get Jack never put himself in any danger in this film. Let's be real. Yeah. Like, he went diving once. Aside from that, like, he doesn't fucking do anything. Like, yeah. he could easily just not be in this film at all. Yeah. Because, I mean, what does he do?
I think they were just that, like, maybe got Bill Pullman in to, like, get people in, like, to have the name on the poster and be the main man.
Hey. Oh dear. Right, that's it for this episode.
10 out of 10.
But you're right, because I like Bill Pullman. I like other things that Bill Pullman's in. One of my favorite movies of all time, Independence Day. Bill Pullman's mm-hmm. amazing in that, and, you know, he's been in huge films. And, you know, Brendan Gleeson's obviously gone on, because he was still, I think, not amazingly well known at this point, I don't mm-hmm. think, when he's obviously gone on to become quite the household name. Obviously, you've got Bridget Fonda in here. I was 6 years old when this came out, so I had no fucking clue who Oliver Platt was. Yes. I'm not sure I still don't, but so yeah, you're right. Like, he's the name, isn't he? Him and Bridget Fonda, those are the names, those are the things that are going to pull people in. So we knew there was no stakes when it came to those two, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else? Because we've kind of covered most things already on my list. Like, we've kind of fired through it. Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
The other Jaws reference that I was when at the end, and they're standing on that little, not a beach, just like at the edge of the lake. I know things. And it's all gone quiet and they're waiting for, like, things to happen. And Hank goes, I wrote it down, just when you have the feeling that everything is totally safe. It's like, is this your just when you think it's safe to go back in the water moment?
I think it absolutely is. and it's a horrendous line. Like,
it doesn't make sense.
It's so clunky. It's such a horrible line. I think one of the most egregious things in this movie is the script.
Yeah.
Like, and it's bizarre because there's some really funny moments in there. But the script is horrendous.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrendous. And it's totally relied on the delivery of people like Brendan Gleeson and Oliver Platt and Betty White.
Yeah.
But let's just be real, obviously. We're all here just for Betty White. That's all we're here for.
Pennywise and the 30-foot croc.
And the 30-foot croc. And at the end, the many, many little baby crocodiles as well, because obviously we get that ending. There have been sequels to this film. I don't know if you've seen any of the sequels.
No. There's about six or something, isn't there?
Yeah, like... don't waste your time. You know how they made like six really bad sequels to Wrong Turn? It's going back to Wrong Turn again.
See, I do like Wrong Turn 2. I think Wrong Turn 2 is really great. But only because Henry Rollins is in it.
There you go. We came to that. We found it. It was because Henry Rollins was in it. That's fine. But you know what I mean? Like how bad, you know, like Wrong Turn 6 is and Wrong Turn 5. They're terrible films. That's like the Lake Placid sequels. And there's a lot of like, I think there's like Lake Placid versus movies as well. So I think there's like Lake Placid versus Anaconda or something like that. And it's... Yeah, definitely don't waste your time with that. That's kind of it then for what I've got. Last, before we move on, anything else that you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Right, let us move on then to the next section. Try and write this down. My pen's run out. Perfect timing. Right, we're going to get on and do some trivia. We'll start off with the finances of this movie, as always. This movie had a budget of $35 million. This had a fucking huge budget. Grossed worldwide at the box office $56.8 million. So, profit of about $23 million. So, a decent profit, but not blowing anything out of the water. Hey. But decent success. So probably why they kind of tried to cash in with a few sequels. But that's not, you know, it's not Paranormal Activity or Saw, is it, that came in on no budget and made hundreds of millions. The guy you were talking about earlier, the creator of the crocodile, was a guy called Stan Winston. And you're absolutely right. He also did the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. But if you look at the rest of his sort of IMDb page and his career, he was also on the special effects teams in the following movies. He was on the special effects teams in Aliens. He was also in The Terminator, Terminator 2 Judgment Day, and Terminator 3. The Monster Squad. He did Predator 2. He did Constantine, Iron Man, Darkness Falls, Galaxy Quest, a personal favourite of mine, Small Soldiers, and End of Days. So this guy's got a fucking fantastic list of movies that he's worked on. Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course, Galaxy Quest and Small Soldiers are the two that stands out on that list for me. I love those movies. But no, like, you know, working on Aliens, which is one of the most popular horror action movies of all time, Terminator, is one of the most popular Arnold Schwarzenegger movies of all time. You know, he's done Jurassic Park as well, like you mentioned. Predator 2. He's worked pretty much on all the big shit.
I was going to say, he's been across all the big ones, hasn't he?
So, yeah, fair play to that guy. We were talking about the scene with the bear. Now, I don't know if this is 100% true. I'm relying very much on the people who wrote this trivia. Apparently, there is no brown bears in Maine. That's just not possible. So, there you go. There's no bears here either. Would you like there to be bears in Britain?
I don't think so.
You know what, like, I'm so happy that I live in a place where the most dangerous creature we have to deal with is a fox.
You know, badgers are really vicious.
Oh, there is badgers. You're right. We have wildcats up here. But they're not, like, massive. You know, we're not talking lions or tigers. But you know, like in Australia, everything wants to kill you. Every insect, every creature just wants to murder you. I don't think I could... I would just let them. I just don't think I could live in one of these countries where they've got all these really dangerous creatures. I'm happy that the only spiders we get are wee house spiders, that they're only really interested in getting their hole and going back into the corners where you can't see them. I don't want to live in Australia where you've got these big fuck off huntsmen. And I know that they don't actually like want to hurt us, but they look horrendous.
If one of them just sort of just plodded into my vicinity, I think I would just simply have to pass away.
don't look behind you. No, you're absolutely right. Like, it's just, you see the photos and the videos of them floating about like Facebook and that all the time, and it's just a big old nope in it. Big old nope. Okay. So yes, come to the UK. We don't have animals that actively try and kill you. Let's move on. So in real life, the largest crocodile in captivity measured in 20 feet and 3 inches. They say in this film that the largest in captivity was like 27 feet and the largest seen was like 30 feet. It's just not true. And so they also believe that this film, the crocodile, is over twice the length of that and is at over, it's coming in at over 40 feet. So, yeah, that's pretty fucking big. Last piece of trivia I've got. So the filming had to be stopped mid-shoot due to really poor weather conditions. I think Maine's one of those places where it rains for long periods of time, you know, like they get freak storms and things like that. Whilst that was happening and filming was halted, the director, Steve Miner, decided to just go and direct Halloween H20 while they were waiting for this film to be reshot.
I love that film, you know. I won't hear a bad word about it.
So Lake Placid was like, no, we can't film anymore. He was like, right, I'll just go make a fucking Halloween movie instead. So which one would you rather watch then? Halloween H20 or Lake Placid? If you had, like, I handed you a DVD of each and you had to pick one.
Probably Halloween, because it was the first Halloween film I ever watched. And I think it was the first film, one of the very first horror films I ever watched, which introduced me.
Introduced you, and now you're here.
Now I'm here.
Anyone who listens to this show knows that I adore Halloween and everything to do with it. Halloween H20, I think, is a criminally underrated Halloween movie, aside from Michael Myers' mask, which is fucking horrendous. But that's maybe an argument, a conversation for another day, because I could probably talk about that for another hour as well. Do you have any other pieces of trivia? Or
I did a little bit of research into the like mythology around it, because that when she was sort of saying, oh, loads of communities and civilizations like worship crocodiles and stuff, I was like, is this just a bit of Hollywood bullshitting? But it's not, it's actually true. So ancient Egyptians worship crocodiles because they have a deity called Sobek, and I'm sorry if that's not how you pronounce it. That's associated with Nile crocodiles, which had a human head, a human body, sorry, and a crocodile head.
Could you imagine a crocodile with a human head?
That would be so cursed.
That'd be nightmare fuel. I bet there's one of them in Return to Oz.
Probably in that green room. And then Australian Aboriginal tribes have totems with crocodiles on, and in India and Nigeria, they're very worshipped, and people think it's as a, like, because they have such a connection, like fear, and they can obviously, they're very dangerous, so they like worship them because they can kill you and things. So yeah. And then there was another really big crocodile in Australia in 1957, which measured in at 28.34 feet, which was hunted by an Australian couple. So can he fuck off massive?
Was it the Irwins? It was probably the Irwins, right?
Yeah.
An Australian couple. That was definitely Steve Irwin.
It's the Irwin.
That's super fascinating though, because I love all that sort of stuff as well. Like when I was at school and that, I was dead into, well, I mean, I went to university to do history and things like that. I think that's really fascinating. And, you know, obviously crocodiles have been around for a really long time. They're ancient creatures. They can live a really long time. And they can live in, like, the harshest conditions as well. That point, where, you know, that scene where he's like, as long as their nostrils don't freeze, they survive. That's true. Like, they can live in, like, frozen lakes. They just have to make sure that their nostrils are, like, above sea level. And that's it. Yeah. And they can survive. And it's crazy. Like, you read up on crocodiles. They're really, really fascinating creatures.
I think they're cute.
I think they're cute too. If they weren't so deadly, I'd have them as a pet. If they weren't so, you know, munchy.
Yeah.
Right. With that being said, let's move on to the final section, talk about our ratings and our final thoughts. As always, we will start off with the critic scores, and the critics hurt me today. Like, this hurt me. So IMDb scored this movie 5.7 out of 10. Metacritic scored this at 34 out of 100. The Rotten Tomatoes critic scored it at 47%, with the Rotten Tomatoes audience scoring this at 37% rotten. The critics' consensus is, and the first two words is everything you need to know: Betty White's delightful supporting turn may be worth the admission price alone, but Lake Placid is swamped by a smarmy script and inability to deliver on the creature feature mayhem. I kind of agree with some of that. Like, yeah. Betty White is definitely one of the highlights of this movie. We're not a fan of the script. I'm not sure what smarmy script even is supposed to mean, to be honest with you.
Big wonderful boobs.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
fuck my drag. But yeah, like, this definitely doesn't deliver on the promise of crocodile causing carnage and mayhem. So I can kind of see where they're coming from. But I do think that there's slightly more to this film. I think some of those scores are a little bit harsh. But let's find out what we think. So, Sophie, on a scale of 0 to 10, what are you going to rate Lake Placid?
This film does have a lot of issues. We've gone over in depth how shit the dialogue is. The characters are pretty one-dimensional. But I do just have so much love for this film. I think the effects and the graphics, you know, 20 odd years later, still look really good. Some genuinely funny moments. It doesn't take itself seriously. I'm going to give it a 6.
6 out of 10.
Yeah.
I pretty much agree with everything that you've just said there. Obviously this film does have major issues at times. You know, we talked, like you said, about the script and the dialogue and some of the themes and the characters and the chemistry, and the list seems to get longer every time that we're talking about it. But there's something about it, isn't it? Like, and there's almost that sort of can't quite put your finger on it. Like, I know we're obviously saying you've got Betty White and there's some really funny moments, but there is something just there that I can't quite put my finger on. Why I really love this movie.
It's camp. It's high camp.
Yeah, and it's nostalgic, you know, because, you know, this is sort of one of those films that I was growing. This came out when I was 6, so I was growing up with this movie, and there's almost that sort of little bit of nostalgia. My parents liked this movie as well, and, you know, Brendan Gleeson's in there, and we love him too. So I am right with you, and I'm also going to give this movie a 6 out of 10, so... In complete agreement there for once. It's not usual that we have a similar scorings on this podcast, I'm sure you know. But with all that being said, our scores combining with the critic scores gives Lake Placid, oh, I've lost it, there it is, an average score of just 4.7 out of 10. And of the now 98 movies we have reviewed on this podcast, it's in 83rd place of the 98 movies. It has, ironically enough, because we've talked about it enough, the exact same score as Wrong Turn. It is one place above House of a Thousand Corpses, and it is one place below Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. I think both Halloween 4 and House of a Thousand Corpses have been done dirty there as well. I think these movies deserve to be a little bit higher up on the list, but
I think it's been unfairly judged.
I think if you're looking at this purely critically, then I can kind of get why someone's going to rate this relatively low. But I think there's just there's something quite charming about this film. Like I said, that I can't quite put my finger on, but I'm willing to stick my neck out and say that little bit of something makes this a good film. Makes this an above average.
I'm willing to be dragged.
Okay. So we'll get on finally to some listener thoughts. As usual, we always throw it out to our listeners, and we'll read out some of what you think for the show. So we'll start off with Alaska Girl 88. She says, humor, horror, big monster, great cast, and Betty White swearing. What's not to love? What is not to love, facts. Alaska Girl 88? She's just spitting truth. The Holmes Movie Podcast. Lake Placid knows exactly what kind of film it is and has fun with it. Lots of great actors star in the film, and there are some great quotable lines. Love the dark humour. Yep, completely agree. Mark Brown, one of the too few horror comedies, amazing cast. And finally, friend of the show, Chris Watt. I went to see this in theatre purely on the strength of the cast. All great character actors, not usually seen in this type of film. This was the first clue that this would be something special. The script is sharp, funny, and knowingly silly, but still delivers great scares. I'm not 100%. Chris is a writer, I must say, so he writes scripts and things like that. So maybe I just don't know nothing. I don't particularly like the script, but I think everything else around it's okay. So we'll maybe forgive him for that one. So thank you to everyone who got back in touch with us. I put this up pretty short notice, actually, so thank you to those people who responded pretty sharpish with your opinions. But that's it. That's going to do it for this week's show. We have powered through this episode. But I don't know. There's only so many times you can labour over the same points, isn't there?
Yeah. It's not a very deep film, is it?
Well, yeah, that's it. There's no real hidden meanings and things. You know, it wasn't last week where we were talking about Martyrs. That was a discussion and a half, that one. And it's nice, you know what, because we've been talking a lot on the podcast lately about some pretty serious film topics and subjects. You know, obviously last month we were doing our Women in Horror Month, and, you know, we've been dealing quite a lot with movies that deal with, you know, physical abuse and mental abuse and depression and all of those things. So it's kind of nice to take a bit of a break from that this week and
Just talk about a wasp crocodile that's eating people.
it's not eating people. It's eating a person's head and half a person. but you're right. But of course, we're also right now slap bang in the middle of our little spell of Wednesday episodes where we're doing kids' horror films. So obviously, Frank and Weenie we did last week. We've got Hotel Transylvania. We've got some others coming up as well, so that's going to be fun. But that's going to do it for this week's show. Sophie, as always, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you for having us.
You are going to be back again. We've already booked you in for your fourth appearance on the show.
Booked and busy.
You're going to be coming back to talk about Creep. But when I say Creep, most people think of the American found footage movie. That's not the movie we're going to be talking about. No. We're going to be talking about the UK horror movie Creep, set on the London Underground.
Film I always think about. I think I've only seen the first one, the first American one, and I didn't like it.
Well, when I was... because we have this schedule for me and Lucy and Lindsay, and I always put up what's happening on the Sunday shows. And I'd obviously put on that you were coming on to do Creep. And Lindsay was like, oh, I really want to talk about that film, so I'm going to be there, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know it's not the American one, right? And she's like, oh, I'd never even heard of the UK one. I was like, what? I was
like, what? It traumatized me. Like, was... into, like loads. Like, when I watched it as a teenager, it traumatized me.
There's so many people that just don't know this film even exists. Yeah. Like, you'd be surprised whenever I bring it up on social media, how few people actually even know that this movie is a thing. So I'm very excited to get you back on to talk about that. So hopefully it won't be in the too distant future. And I'm sure we'll have you on loads more after that as well to talk about a whole variety of horror
movies. I've been pestering you, haven't I, to do the Hill House trilogy. So I'm just going to book myself in, whether you like it or not.
For all three of them. That's your next four episodes booked in. That's fine, because Tony, who comes on, she comes on just to talk about the Halloween movies. So she's coming back to do Halloween 6. because she had said, like, oh, we can do movies that's not Halloween, you know. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. So I gave her a list of movies, like I gave to you. And at the bottom, I put, or Halloween 6. And she went, let's just do Halloween 6. But yeah, that's that. So next week on the show, as I said, we're going to be talking about Hotel Transylvania on the main show. I'm kind of excited. I've not seen it. All these kids' horror movies I've not seen, all these animated horror movies I've not seen. We did Frank and Weenie last week. It was the first time I'd seen that. I'm excited to do this one as well. We've got I've got a kid-friendly horror movie coming up the week after. Going to do Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And then we go back to some of the tough stuff. I say tough stuff. I think Tusks after that, so...
Oh, fucking hell.
I was just, because we'd obviously been shifting around like our schedule, because we had like, all right, we're going to do this Women in Horror Month, and all of our movies had actually been like sort of scattered around the year, so we decided to start altering it and, you know, putting the movies in there. And then I realized that just before we came into this like kid-friendly segment, because we'd had people asking us, you know, you could do more like PG horror movies. I was like, and I didn't realize at the time that Martyrs was the last episode going into the kids-friendly horror movies, and my last choice before Martyrs was Eden Lake. So like, I've been particularly rough on the podcast for choices for the last couple of weeks. So I'm kind of excited just to not.
You need a holiday, mate. Like, Martyrs, Tusk, Jesus Christ.
I need a holiday from myself, pretty much. I think my picks get slightly better. I think after that, I think I've done like Candyman and things like that. So we get slightly better. But that's it. That's going to do it for this week's show. So Sophie, remind everyone, where can they find you on the socials?
So on Instagram, I'm at SophieServesFace, and on Twitter, I'm at SophServesFace.
Yep. Don't forget, folks, the links to both of those will be in the description for this episode. Just a quick reminder to everyone, obviously, if you've already listened to this episode, you're not going to care because you've already listened to it. We do put timestamps, though, in our episode. So if you don't want to hear us doing all our housekeeping at the beginning, if you want to cut straight to the movie review, or even just straight to the scores at the end or the trivia or whatever, we do put those timestamps in the description for every single episode going forward. We only have them so far for some of our previous episodes, but hopefully over time, I'll get the time to go and sort of update some of those old ones as well. So yeah, please, if you do not want to hear our repetitive housekeeping stuff at the beginning, you can skip it, and all the links are always in the description anyway, so please keep an eye on that. Don't forget, you can find us on Twitter at Screams Behind, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube is at Behind the Screams Podcast. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ Behind the Screams Podcast. We currently do Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sunday evenings. We have some exciting stuff coming though on the Twitch. Number one, I am currently working on two different types of live show. We're going to be doing a 1001 horror movies to see before you die series on our Twitch channel. And we're also going to be starting up, and we already kind of started this up on a show, on an episode earlier this year, but we're going to start up our official quiz night as well. And we're going to do it live on our Twitch channel. We've got a theme tune and everything already set up and raring to go. So keep tuned, stay tuned for more details across our social medias for that. Hopefully that'll be coming soon. And hopefully it won't just be between me, Lucy and Lindsay. We might get some special guests like Sophie on to test their...
Well, I'm too competitive.
To test their... When we did the first one, I had to be the quiz master. I was too competitive. Way too competitive. And like Lindsay's like, she's like a self... She admits herself, like, she's not a horror expert. Coming on to the podcast, she was like a person who hadn't really watched a lot of horror, which is one of the reasons why we got her on, because she gave us a slightly different perspective on a lot of stuff. And Lucy, we love Lucy, but she sometimes says she's not very good at retaining information. So not to be put too fine a point on it, I'd have wiped the fucking floor with both of them.
I think, like, I just retain, like, useless knowledge. Like, so... But I'm competitive.
Maybe we should get Lindsay and Lucy to be the hosts, and me and you could go against each other.
Match.
But yeah, anyways, the plan is hopefully, like I say, we're going to do more regularly. We're going to hopefully get some guests on to do that as well, and we can see who has the best horror knowledge around. Last time we did the quiz episode, we stuck just to movies we had covered on the podcast, just to make things a little bit easier for everyone for our first one, but we're not going to do that for the rest of them, so it should be interesting. We'll do some special themed episodes and things like that. So there's a whole host of stuff coming on our Twitch. All of that was just to plug the Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/behindthescreams podcast. You've been in quite a few of my streams. You know how entertaining they are.
It is really good, to be fair. It's like, and I don't really know anything about gaming. Like, I try, but I'm not very coordinated. I find it quite tricky. I'm good at, like,
you've seen me game, right? It's terrible
games like that. But I get really frustrated because I can't be perfect at it immediately. I like to watch and the community, people who comment are really nice. The sound alerts are really fun. I still don't fully get how you do that. but watching other people do it's good. So yeah,
I'll explain it to you off air. It's fine.
It's a good time.
Absolutely, though. But please do come check us out. Like I say, I stream there Wednesdays, Fridays and Sundays. Dave streams on the Saturdays. But like I say, with obviously the world away to change again as we come out of lockdowns and the pandemic hopefully comes to an end, and then with new shows, the schedule may change slightly. So like I say, keep tuned to our social medias for that. But that was the longest outro I think I've ever done. Thank you once
again. I did like disrupt it because I was coming in chatting, and I'm doing it again, so I'm just going to shut the fuck up.
Oh, that's all right. That's okay. So what are you going to do? No, I'm only joking, right? Thank you once again to Sophie for joining us. Thank you to everyone for downloading and listening to this episode at home, and we hope you will join us next time on Behind the Screams.